The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Amen. That's really what it means to be a prophetic people. It means to not just focus and see the problem. You know, it doesn't take a prophetic person to see the problems and issues. It doesn't take somebody with tremendous insight from God to see problems. But it takes a prophetic unction to be able to see the answer in the face of the problems, in the middle of the disappointment, in the middle of the things that have gone wrong or are going wrong, to be able to raise your eyes to a higher place and to be able to see God's opinion on that.
That's right.
I mean, really, have you ever asked God his opinion on your circumstances?
Yes.
I don't know. You know, for me, I try to figure it out. You know, I just, it's like, oh, I don't need your help yet, God. Wait till it's really bad, you know, and let me just figure this out. And you kind of stumble along the way and you kind of, finally it does get bad enough that you cry out to the Lord and he hears your voice. He is so good and he's so faithful. But I really believe that God wants this breaker anointing that Judy's talking about. It's a prophetic gifting. It's a prophetic unction. One of the things that we prayed about on Thursday night was for an increase of the gifting of discernment. How important is the gift of discernment? You know, how many times have you listened to a lie because you thought that it was made sense? Or, well, that's the reality on this side of heaven, therefore it's got to be truth. Some months ago, the Lord had spoken to my heart, and he said, Dave, you are in a time, and you're in a season where the only way you're really going to know truth is through discernment. In other words, pulling from on heaven and getting heaven's opinion about something, no matter what it is. And understanding and seeing things from the heavenly realm rather than just keeping our eyes on this realm. How many know that is so not like us? It's so counterintuitive. You know, we think that this realm is all that there is. But I believe that God wants to release a gift of discernment. He wants to increase this gift of discernment that when we face issues and problems, whether it's in our lives or in the life of somebody else, that God is going to release a word that is from heaven that breaks the yokes of bondage.
Amen.
See, it's the anointing that breaks the yokes of bondage. It's not my best stab at having a lot of experience in getting people set free. I mean, it's not even my best stab at trying to love people. It is an anointing from on high that God wants to flow through us, in us and through us, in order to be effective on this level. And it is a spiritual gift. You know, I sometimes have a concern. I didn't mean to go here, and I don't know what I'm doing really, except that I feel like the Lord really wants us to press into something higher, to see from a different level. He's serious about this. We talk about it. We talk about being spirit-filled, and yet I see sometimes, please, I'm not being critical. I'm speaking this to me. I sometimes see me as a spirit-filled person being less effective in the kingdom of God than people that aren't spirit-filled. They're busy out there getting people saved and getting people set free and healed and delivered, and yet I can sit and on my laurels of being spirit-filled. I know that's real and that's graphic and it's, you know, all I'm saying is there's more. All I'm saying is that we can live in a reputation or we can live in a reality. God is calling us to live in a reality where we just don't have good theology. And I believe we have good theology. I really do. I think that we have some really good theology. We have dared to tackle some of the mysteries of the kingdom. And we try to disassemble those mysteries so that we can live in the mysteries. But many times it stops with good theology. I believe the word of the Lord is start speaking from heaven. Start using your voice to verbalize what's on the king's heart. Because that's how true authority flows. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And so as we encounter circumstances and situations, what you're doing today, you're not wrestling with flesh and blood, principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. All the natural things that you can do are useless unless they're led by the word of the Lord.
Amen.
And you know that. You guys, you do that. I'm convinced more and more today, I came, I'm prepared and I've got a message. I do. And maybe we'll get to it. But I feel like the exhortation in the moment, because of community, you want to know what community looks like? This is community. It isn't about me leading this thing and I've got the word of the Lord and everybody just line up and follow what I have to say. We have had, how many people have taken part in this community, in this service today? And which one would you want to be without? And so it's a result of community that I believe the Lord is releasing an exhortation to come up higher, to hear from a different realm, to purpose, to be intentional about pursuing a higher place of hearing and a higher place from which we speak. And I'll tell you, unless you're intentional about it, it will not go anywhere. I've often said that walking the walk of faith is like trying to walk up a descending escalator, a crowded descending escalator. You have to make effort to get up that bugger. Because the inertia of life is going to pull you the other way into what's natural, what's carnal, what you can see, taste, touch, and feel. But I believe that God is putting a courage in the hearts of men and women in this day, true men and women of faith. He's putting a courage that we are going to go against the downward flow.
Amen.
He's putting something of a courage and a tenacity in the hearts of people that I have got to see what the Word says that we can see. I have got to live a life that matters. I have got to live a life that impacts somebody. And I think a lot of the disappointments that many of us suffer is that we've tried that, right? Well, I've got kids. I tried that. And anybody who has kids, well, you've probably had some disappointments. I know I certainly disappointed my parents. Or whatever the disappointment is, it really doesn't matter. What the Lord is speaking, He's saying, get up in the grace of God. Take on the courage of the Lord Jesus Christ and the faith of Christ and pursue. Go after that which has been laid out for you in your life. That's not just Pastor Bob or Henry and Leslie or Dave that has this laid out. Each one of you has such an incredibly important part to play. I don't care who you are or what you think your hands are full with. We're busy people, right? You have something that the world needs. You have something that needs to be released on behalf of the kingdom of God. Every one of us do. That's what community is about. I want to read this morning out of Philippians. Well, by golly, I guess that does kind of go with what I was going to preach. You just never know. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. How many like that? That's a good word right there. Isn't it? It's been granted to you to suffer for Christ. Come on. Where's the cheers? Well, if you're not suffering, I say you're kind of on the descending escalator. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in is in me. I want to talk this morning about the faith community. You know, we are, this is the fourth week of talking about cultivating community. And I love the thought of cultivating community, because community to me is, what do we have in a common unity? What do we have in common with one another that brings us into a unity? That's what the way I like to look at community. And the faith community that we have that is established, I want to look at a bit of the macro picture, the big picture of what this faith community looks like. The Apostle Paul just let it out. He just laid it out there that there is a conduct that accompanies a faith community. See, it does matter what you do. The way you live your life, the way that you order your conduct in this life really does matter. And it matters big time. You don't live to yourself. None of us lives to ourselves. None of us dies to ourselves. We're not islands. Everything that we do affects somebody. Whether they see it or not, we are affecting lives, both for the good and for the negative. So let your conduct be worthy of the gospel, the good news, the salvation, the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you have been redeemed, that you've been set free, that the gospel, the good news of the King of the kingdom has set you free. And now allow your conduct to model that, to show that. Let the conversation, the way you order your footsteps, walk it out. And there is a faith that is released in that. See, have you ever thought about this community that Jesus wanted to build? You know, I mean, he came preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he told people, you're going to suffer. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to get kicked out of the synagogues. You know, it's going to cost you your life. I mean, there's a lot of good news in this. Now, who's ready to sign on? Have you ever thought of that? What was it that Jesus was preaching and teaching that drew the multitudes to him? I don't think it was just the signs and wonders. I really don't. I believe that he taught a gospel message that went to the spirit of man and awoke something deep down inside, beyond all the carnal reasoning, beyond the soul, beyond the natural stuff, beyond everything they had seen that they knew religion was about, and it got something deeper. It touched their spirit. That it touched their spirit, it awoke something inside of them that they couldn't deny. And then the signs and wonders and the accompanying, those things followed. Why? Because something was awakened in the hearts of people. And he preached and he taught a message that wasn't designed to tickle the ears. It was designed to get at the spirit, at the core of who we are. And it seems that some people, it didn't reach that. Those that were familiar with Jesus in his hometown, he was never able to get at that level of revelation in them. And therefore, Jesus couldn't do many mighty works among them. He only healed a few sick folk. I'd be happy to heal a few sick folk. But for Jesus, that wasn't a good day. I mean, he went around getting at the core of who people were, and bringing a hope that people could see something bigger than what they were in the natural existence about. And I believe that that's why Jesus was able to take, in the face of the horrendous obstacles of coming into this community of faith, that his message got to something deeper. It didn't always square with their theology, by the way. In fact, Jesus went about creating community in all the wrong ways. Everything you can imagine, he did wrong. He's got a community of about 3,000 people gathered around, and people are being healed, people are being set free, the message is connecting. And then he comes up with this, except you eat my body and drink my blood, you can't have any part of me. Now there is a theological message, right? Let's rightly divide the scripture with that one. But the response of those that remained was, you have the words of life. You have words that went way deeper than what I have ever heard before. Where would we go to get those kinds of words? Where can we go where Jesus said, he says, my words are spirit and they're life. Well, I kind of think that what that means is that Jesus in the moment was able to tap into where people's felt needs were, the things that they couldn't even articulate. Do you have needs that you sometimes have a hard time articulating? Do you ever get before the Lord? Do you ever get before the Lord and you know something's up inside, but you can't put a finger on it? And sometimes it takes a lengthy time of just laying out before the Lord and opening up and saying, God, I don't get it, but there's something going on here. Would you put a finger on it? And sometimes he uses people to put a finger on that. And, you know, but Jesus, I believe, when he said that his words were spirit and life, he was speaking prophetically. He was pulling from heaven some words that were appropriate for the moment. He was able to capture the heart of the Father. And to see what the Father was doing, to hear what the Father was speaking. And he was able to bring it real time into people's lives. Isn't that exciting? Does Jesus have something other than being the Son of God that you and I don't have? Wait a minute, let me rephrase that. Can you erase that from the tape? No, the tape, whatever you have back there. See, I do believe that Jesus came as the Son of God, but he laid all of his deity aside. And he came to model and to demonstrate what a man in right relationship with the Father could do. Amen. As a man. Some 96 times in the Bible, Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. And it's actually the translators that say it's about the Son of Man. I believe that he's speaking about the Son of Man. You know, so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. I say, take up your bed and walk. He wasn't talking about himself as the Son of Man. He was talking about you and me. Amen. As sons of the flesh. Those to whom this has been given authority to. To rule and reign with Christ. Not apart from Christ, but with Christ. Last Thursday morning, mind if I pick a hair out of my... Thank you. Last Thursday morning, we had a prayer time here. We have intercession on Thursday mornings. Most of you know that. It's in the bulletin. And it's just, for me, a wonderful, wonderful time. But there was something about Thursday morning where after we got up, I felt like, wow, we've been sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It was like one of those times where it was just so sweet and so precious. There weren't a lot of fireworks. There wasn't a lot of exuberance and stuff going off. It was actually pretty laid back and pretty much like we were seated in heavenly places and kind of like we were functioning from rest. Amazing. And yet somehow I felt like very effective, like we accomplished what we were supposed to do. We didn't pick any battles, we didn't pick any fights, because we don't want to pick our own fights. We don't want to pick our own battles. Yes, how many know that's a good way to get beat up?
Yes.
When you start picking fights, when you start picking battles on behalf of the Lord, it's a good way to get beat up. And so there is this in the moment prophetic understanding of what the Father is saying, what He's speaking for the sons and daughters of God, for the faith community to take part in. Now, I will say that that kind of faith is like a muscle that has to be worked. It's a muscle that has to grow. It's kind of funny. When I first got saved, these people, a couple of things they said was, you know, after you pray the prayer, they had you go and get baptized. They said, you know, you get baptized right now. So 2:30 in the morning, I was getting baptized. But then they laid hands on us and they said, okay, now you're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to speak with other tongues. Really? You know, and it took a little while for that to happen. But they also told me, now that you got Jesus in you and you got Holy Spirit in you, you lay hands on the sick and they're going to get healed. I said, really? They said, yeah. I said, okay. So I started laying hands on people. People got healed. So as a baby, I had this muscle that was building. But I tell you, somewhere along the line, I hit a couple of failures. And I hit a couple of disappointments. And it isn't strange that the disappointments and the failures become our reality more than the times that we've had successes. See, I could ask most of you, and all of you have had encounters with the Lord, right? I could ask most of you about your most significant encounter with the Lord, and you'd really have to think about it. But if I asked most of you, what is your largest disappointment that you've had with the Lord, that would be a little bit quicker for you to say than the encounter with the Lord. Is that true or not? Is that an assumption on my part? Let's take a poll. I mean, we got a Swede here. We might as well take a poll. There's a reason that the Lord encourages us to remember. Right? Because we tend to forget the mighty works of God and the things that God has done in our lives. I want to encourage you to journal. How many of you have been prophesied over? Almost everybody in this house has been prophesied over. This is a very prophetic house. Have you taken those prophetic words and have you transcribed them? Written them down? Do you visit those prophetic words from time to time? Here's the really cool thing about that. I have seen where prophetic words that have been spoken over me some time ago at the time didn't make a whole lot of sense. I'll visit those things sometime down the road. I always visit them from time to time, but you know, all of a sudden, 5, 7, 8 years later, all of a sudden I'll look at that word and I'll go, oh, what I've just been through is what that word is about. You know, so as a prophetic people, we don't allow prophetic prophecy to lead us, but we do allow the prophetic, the true prophetic unction to speak in us and through us in order to bring revelation and to set the captives free and to bring the now word of the Lord into a circumstance. See, I have a really hard time I quite often I hear, well, Dave, we should do this and this and this because it worked at this other church. When I hear because it worked somewhere else, I don't know. I'm just built in a way, maybe it's rebellion, I don't know. But I'm built in a way that goes, well, I don't want to go there. I don't want to be a clone of anybody. You know, I mean, I love what happens out in Bethel and Reading. I really honor and respect them. And they've been an inspiration of faith to me. But I know that we're different. And I know that for me to try to pattern what we do here in mid-Minnesota in a small gathering, comparatively speaking, with a different call on our lives. If I try to be a clone of Redding, California, as much as I love and respect them, then I'm wrong. And I'm trying to put something on you that you're not created to carry. So we must, as leaders, pray for us that we would hear and know the word of the Lord for this community. For us as a community, for us as a tribe, for us as a people. Because I just have no interest in doing what somebody else has done. In many ways, part of the community that you're involved in here, we're a pioneering community. I've had words over my life, you know, where the Lord has spoken. You like to be on the razor's edge. And it's kind of true. I don't know. I'm always looking for the next thing. I'm always looking for where's God going. I'm always looking for what is it that we haven't accomplished yet. I celebrate the things that we accomplish, and I love what God has done. But I'm never quite satisfied. And I think that's a pioneering spirit. There's some churches that really are set up to set up a camp. I believe that. They're there for people to come and to just grow and be discipled and set up a camp. And for us, we're not. We are called to be a pioneering community. We are called to be a people who are always going to be on the move, moving together, moving with purpose, moving with intention, not moving just to move, but just understanding that there's breakthrough. And I said it this morning, any breakthrough that we get as a pioneering church is really meant for our city. It's meant for the other places in town. It's meant for other peoples. So that we as a community can get a breakthrough on behalf of our city, on behalf of the church of the city. I love what Paul says, that I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Again, I want to back out a little bit, and I want to look at the macro. I want to look at the large picture. I want to look at this faith community that Jesus invited people into against all odds, and how he went about building it all the wrong way. And he really didn't have a lot of hoops to jump through. The one thing that had to be jumped through was coming through a very narrow door, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you, when you come through that very, very narrow door, you come into a large and a vast kingdom. And in that kingdom, there is no end. But that kingdom can only be understood by the Spirit. So I think what happens in the church today, and I'm speaking in generalities again, I believe I have scripture to back it up. Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this and that and the other thing in your name? And Jesus says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. So we need to be careful, because there's a lot of people that want to connect with what they see happening in a soulish realm. But when it comes to the spirit realm, they don't want to pay the price. I'm not one. I'm glad that judgment isn't in my hands. I'm glad I don't have to discern or to decide who's of faith and who is not of faith. I just love everybody. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But there is a reality that a soulish message is always going to create a soulish salvation, if you will, if it can be salvation. A carnal message is always going to generate a carnal people. So the message that Jesus preached wasn't about the carnal. It wasn't about the outer realm and how much comfort we can have by becoming a Christian. He actually said how much you're going to suffer by becoming a Christian. How many know that has to hit someplace deeper than the mind? If you haven't heard the good news, it has been granted to you to suffer. I have a conviction. The only way people, gosh, I'm making some generalities here, please hear my heart, but people for the most part are lazy. We don't want to grow unless we're forced to grow. that unless there's some pain, we don't like to change. Right? When the pain gets enough, then the suffering gets enough, then all of a sudden we take steps to grow and to move and to shift and to change. It's been granted to you to suffer for Christ. Why? Because it's in the granting of the suffering that it's going to cause us, like Joanne's word, to dig deeper. To go deeper, to dig in the reserves. Do you know that your failures, the things that you're the most embarrassed about, the things that you have failed most miserably at, can actually be a tool to get you to dig deeper? In fact, in part, I believe that when the scripture in Romans 8 says, God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes, I believe in part that's what that scripture is coming, where it's coming from. That the most miserable things, the hardest things, our greatest failures, the things that we think, how can God still love me? Anybody been there? Those things, if you love God and you're called according to his purposes, it's going to drive you deeper into him and not drive you away from him. Judas didn't have that deep heart connection. So his failure, the only way he could face his failure was to go out and hang himself. Peter, who denied Christ 3 times, and by the way, the evangelicals used to tell us that if we deny Christ, that we lose our salvation. Remember that teaching? Or is that just me? Anyways, they used to teach that. They used to say, well, if you deny Christ, you know, so there was always the scenarios of the end times and the Antichrist, and the thing that was going to happen is the Antichrist would convince you to deny Christ, and then you were going to go to hell, straight to hell, do not pass go, do not collect $200. And that was just it. And yet we have Peter, whose heart was to the Lord. He had heard the words of life. There was something down inside of Peter that in the middle of his failure, and I believe that he was just torn up with his failure. And in the middle of his failure, all of a sudden he sees somebody on the beach cooking a meal. And Peter, being who Peter was, says, I'm up for a meal. Let's go in. That's not true. I mean, he sensed it was the Lord. And the Lord restored him. See, the preaching of the gospel and the pursuit of the things that we're looking for can only come by the Spirit. I have a belief. This is my belief. This is what I believe, okay? I believe that the last generation, we came through a time in the church where the people that were really leading the church were teachers. I love teachers. But teachers tend to want to answer all the questions. They tend to want to dissect and trisect and bisect things until they have it broken down so that they can plainly bring it to everybody and everybody can see that, yep, you're right. You got that one right. And then the problem with that is another teacher will do the same thing and have it broken down just as effectively and efficiently, and now you've got division. Because the teachers are disagreeing about what they came up with. We are fat with teaching in the United States. We have had teachers. We've flocked to teachers. And I tell you what, you can go to any teacher that suits your fancy and you can have your ear tickled. Yep. You can listen to what you want to hear. That's dangerous. That's why I believe that the move of the apostle and prophet, where the kingdom government is being established on the foundation of apostle and prophet, that's why that's so important. Because the apostle and prophet just want to hear what's going on in heaven. They want to understand what the word of the Lord is and bring it to earth. When I, as a pastor, now pastors, they're a funny lot too. If the churches weren't headed by teachers, they're headed by pastors. And of course, pastors, all they want to do is they want to keep the people happy, right? Pastors are just concerned that everybody's comfortable and happy, and are you doing okay, and is everything all right in your life? See, that's good on the outside, but if my gospel is geared toward trying to satisfy and keep you happy, then I'm really not preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it takes an apostolic prophetic unction. It takes my life being built upon an apostolic prophetic unction that can preach the truth in love, that can release something into a community that comes from a different place. It's building the community the way that Jesus wanted to build it. Not trying to explain everything, but trying to get to the spirit of what's being said. If Renee has her life built on just strictly a teacher's foundation, and she's really a good teacher. I love, she digs into stuff that I wouldn't dream of digging into. Brian goes, yeah, that's true. But the thing I've seen with Renee is her life has been built upon an apostolic prophetic foundation. Of course, hanging out with the likes of Bob, you know, how could it be anything else? And so she brings a spirit of revelation with her teaching. And it's always about bringing what's the desire in heaven to earth. See, the macro community of the Church of Jesus Christ has always been meant to respond to the Spirit. Now, that's really scary because the Spirit is mysterious. The Spirit's a little bit slippery. I mean, one person can say in the Spirit, well, I'm feeling this, you know, and another person in the Spirit can say, well, I'm feeling this, and it becomes all about feeling. I, that's true. Here's what I found. The most dangerous things in the kingdom are also the most valuable. It seems like the riskiest things in the kingdom also contain behind it the largest pot of gold. So we can't allow fear of something to cause us to stay away from it. We can't cause a fear of the mysteries of the Holy Spirit to cause us to say, well, listening just to the Spirit, I just want something black and white. I want the Word. It's got to be the Word. Well, that's good. When the Word is rightly divided, it takes a spirit of wisdom and knowledge in Him. Otherwise, I want to be careful here. How many have seen people who are very gifted in the Word? They may even serve in a church, but you know that they don't have the Spirit of Christ. And knowledge of this without the Spirit of wisdom and revelation will do us as much good as when Jesus would talk to people and they couldn't get it. When he had speak in parables, people with ears to hear, what kind of ears were those, by the way? They're spiritual ears. He could say the same thing to two groups of people, and one group would get it, and another would run with it and pervert it, and think that the guy was crazy, and even use his words of life against him. See? So we have to be understanding that this community of faith responded to a spiritual message. But accompanying that spiritual message was undeniable love. So you can have all the truth and you can have the Spirit and you can have all the mysteries, but if we don't have love, if we are not excelling in love, then we're failing as a community. I believe God is restoring love to the Big C Church. I believe that we're going to be hitting some pretty tough things. We still have to be a voice of reason to the culture. We still have to be a voice of righteousness to the culture. That will never change. But the attitude with which we do it, what's the greatest thing about love? It was said this morning, you lay down your life. I think that was that your word, Judith? That you lay down your life for your friend. That's the epitome of love. When we start to lay down our lives on behalf of those that are trapped in sin and that are trapped in the stuff of life, that's what's going to shift things and change. All the truth that we have to tell them will not, it'll just drive them farther. So this thing, in this community, the Big C Church, and in us as a body, in us as a community, love for one another and love for the world has got to be preeminent. That's why, that's what drew people to Jesus. What would cause a Zacchaeus, who was a chief publican, that means he was a leader of the tax collectors. He wasn't just a normal one. He was a really bad one. And just having supper with Jesus, just one encounter with Jesus. And he says, Lord, half of what I have, I'll give to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody else, I'll restore to them fourfold. What did he encounter? How about the woman, how many of a sanctified imagination where you can let your mind go on some things that the scripture doesn't say? Okay, a woman caught in adultery in the very act, and Jesus, of course, the story, writes on the ground, says, he with the first, without sin cast the first stone. Woman, where are your accusers? I have none. Well, neither do I accuse you. Now go and sin no more. Huh. How'd she make a living? Who knows why she was there in the first place? So is she trying to support her family by selling her body? Or the demoniac. Legions cast out of them. Jesus, I want to go with you. No, you stay here. How did that guy make a living? I mean, I suppose people gave him clothes because he was naked. I suppose people were still afraid of him. But what happened to him? How did he make a living? See, there's something about the love of God that casts out all fear. And people like the woman caught in adultery, she encounters such incredible love. A love that had no criticism, no judgment, just a word of empowerment. Go and sin no more. This encounter will empower you to go and sin no more. That to which you've been addicted, this encounter gives you an ability, a grace, a freedom to go and sin no more. Guys, this is what the church needs to come to. This is what the community of faith needs to look like. I like what Bob says. Some people will stoop to throw stones, to pick up stones and throw. Others will stoop in surrender. The message that we're carrying, the message that Jesus carried, it was never meant to satisfy everybody. And the more we try to be all things to all people and to satisfy everybody with the message that we're carrying, the more damage we're going to do. I want to encourage us as a community of faith that's what it is. It is the faith of Christ, not a faith that tries to imitate Christ, but the faith of Christ resident within us because of coming in, responding to a spiritual message, becoming spiritual people who now can preach and release a spiritual message that has the fragrance of Christ's love on it. Amen? Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the gospel of the kingdom. The more we can simplify it to a king with a message that he wants to move through people, the quicker we can be effective in this life, fulfilled in this life. So, Father, I pray, even as this whole service has really been about undoing some things so that you can do some other things, Lord, we don't want to leave here the same. We want to be changed. And Father, I pray for a grace to come upon this people. Lord, that where the enemy would want to bring any kind of condemnation or heaviness, Lord, I just forbid that in Jesus' name. And Father, I release a hope, a tremendous hope, Lord, to rise in our hearts to know how we can rightly represent a good God, a God who's good in everything. Father, bless this people, each one here. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.